Am I on? I am on. Excellent. My name is Peter, and I have been a pastor for many years. And to differentiate from First Peter, who normally sits there, I'm Second Peter. Or you could call me Pastor Pete as opposed to Pastor Peter, or you can just call me Peter. Whatever works for you. That's good. Okay, I'm delighted to be here. It's been 11 months since my last confession, I mean sermon. And so it's I'm not sure how rusty I'm going to be, but we'll see how we go. I don't know if you know my setup. I'm married to Sue, who's over there, and we have three kids who are all adults. We've got Pastor Shell, and then Nikki, wherever she is, somewhere over there, Nick. And in between the two of them, we've got our rascal, Brendan. And Brendan lives in York with his wife, Christy, and two kids. So, yeah, we're kind of connected in here, and it's really good to be here. Okay. I wonder what sort of music you like. What sort of genre of music do you like? Can anyone yell out what they like in terms of music? 80s. Sorry, over here? 80s. Taylor Swift. Yep. Dance music. Techno music. That sounds really tinny. Yeah, techno.
Soundtrack.
Jazz. Oh, no, jazz always finishes on a weird note. You can't have jazz.
Opera.
Who likes rap? Keep your hands down. Not allowed to say that. Okay, there's all sorts of different forms of music. Has anyone written a song? Music is often based on poetry. Has anyone written a poem? Oh, now we've got some hands up. Did anyone convert their poem to a song? Nobody. Oh my goodness. Okay. I never tried. My granddad wrote a lot of poetry. But anyway, today we're looking at songs of thanksgiving. And Manny started off last week with Psalm 106. And in Psalm 106, he talked about gratitude and the importance of gratitude. And he mentioned that it's good. It's important to develop an attitude of gratitude, and said, as a throwaway line, that's a bit American. I don't know. I do know that one day when we were cleaning up, setting up for church, when we had a church in the leisure centre, we were out in the car park just cleaning up. It was a bit filthy. And this English couple came down and they were whinging and complaining about the mess. And we were out there cleaning it up. And I said, well, why don't you pitch in and help? Oh no, we pay our taxes, that's a council's job. And all they wanted to do was whinge. Well, we're looking at songs of thanksgiving, where we develop an attitude of gratitude, or in technological terms, we shift our dish that taps into the terrestrial being. We shift our dish from looking at me, myself and I, to looking at God. Songs. This week there are two very different songs being played in America. There's the Songs of Sadness by the Harris camp. Harris, H is close to D, so she must be a Democrat. So the Songs of Sadness, and the word Harris carries a whole stack of baggage, a whole stack of goodies. Harris stood for something. But on the other end of the spectrum, we got the Songs of Thanksgiving from the Trump camp. And Trump, the name Trump, engenders a whole stack of imagery and a whole stack of thoughts. And when we finish today, we'll be singing a song about the name of God. That name carries a whole stack of amazing things. And we want to talk about some of those things today. But no matter what sort of song you're singing today, we need to move towards a song of thanksgiving. No matter what sort of songs the Americans are singing today, whether they're on the Harris sadness or the Trump gladness, their songs won't last. The song of sadness won't last forever. The song of gladness won't last forever because they are focusing on a temporal thing. In 3 years' time, another whole year of presidential elections begins to wind up. and we have to watch it. But we're not focusing on a temporal thing. We're focusing today on God. Songs of thanksgiving. Many songs are based on poetry. And to understand them, we have to know the difference between prose and poetry. Whilst prose writers, they work very hard to word their thoughts in ways that can't be misunderstood. They try to be very logical and analytical and take you along so that you arrive with the information and make sense of it. The poet is not like that. The poet has this incredible sense of, I've got to write about this mystery. Selwyn Hughes wrote, poetry is the product of passion. It is something volcanic about it, surging up in the poet's soul like molten lava and spilling over in strangely moving language. Have you ever read some poetry that is strangely moving language and you're in school and you're trying to work out, what does this mean? But it could mean this, it could mean that, it could mean something else. And they have a whole stack of imagery and words that are not like the prose writer. A poet cannot help but write a poem. All he wants to do is give his thoughts verbal expression. He enters into the mystery and composes a poem about it. Our current series, Songs of Thanksgiving. And this series is not written in order for us to debate the concept of whether God created the world or not. This series isn't looking at whether when Jesus is coming back, whether you're a pre-millennialist or a mid-millennialist or a post-millennialist or whether you're a pan-millennialist and it'll all pan out in the end somehow. This series is not looking at proof and logic and trying to understand the incredible way God created things. This series is designed for our spirits to well up in thanksgiving and worship. To put aside our logic and our analysis and join with the hosts of heaven in worshiping our God. I don't know if you've read Revelation lately, but in the book of Revelation chapter 4, there's this amazing scene of worship. And out comes this bubbling out, is this poem that's being sung, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, the one who always was, who is, and is still to come. And today, I want your spirits to well up within you as you look, as we look at the at three of the divine attributes of God and go, wow, this is who we are worshiping today. So Psalm 139. If you want to go into English lit, and divide it out so you can understand it and get the big overview. Here we have four stanzas of six verses each. The psalmist revels in three of God's divine attributes. The first attribute the psalmist revels in and writes about is God's omniscience, and then God's omnipresence, and then God's omnipotence. And when I was in high school, we had scripture in schools. Did you have any of you had scripture in schools? The pastor who did the scripture lesson that I did, he just wrote on the board and we had to copy for 40 minutes everything he did. He talked, he wrote, and we had to write. And one of the only lessons I remember was God's omnifamily, God's omnipotence, his omniscience and his omnipresence. And I remember it from back when I was 15. And they are amazing words to get a head around. And then, having talked about three of God's divine attributes, the psalmist bursts out with his keen sense of responsibility and awareness of sin. What is a divine attribute? Before we go any further, well, we know what attributes are. They're some of the good things about us. But a divine attribute is one of the amazing things about God that only God has. Only God is omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent. All other gods are false gods. They want to be gods. They are not the God that we worship. Okay, let's get into them. The first one. There are some things that you probably don't know. So, who knows their great-grandmother's birth date? Anyone? You could look it up, but you probably don't know it. Okay, who knows Avogadro's number? One? You don't know Avogadro's number? Oh, mate, you're missing out. Life doesn't work for you anymore. You've got to know it. Google it. I can't even tell you what it's about. What about where you'll be in 5 years? And how, when, and where you'll die? There are so many things we humans do not know. Awe-inspiring images are welling up in the poet's life, poet's spirit. And he wants to share about God. And so he shares about God's omniscience. God is omniscient. And he writes it like this: God knows everything. There is nothing that God does not know. That's what omniscient means. God knows you and everything about you. He knows you and you and you and every single thing about you. And the psalmist writes, "O Lord, you've examined my heart and you know everything about me. You know when I sit down or when I stand up. You know my thoughts when I'm far away. You see me when I travel and rest at home. You know everything that I do. You know where I'm what I'm going to say even before I say it. And as we get older, we're struggling with knowing what we've just said, let alone what we're about to say. Lord, you go before me and you follow me. You place your hand of blessing on my head. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to understand." In Matthew 10, picking up on this omniscience, Jesus says, "What is the price of two sparrows? A copper coin? A cent piece? We don't even make them anymore. But not a single sparrow can fall to the ground without your Father knowing it. And the very hairs, I'll slow down, the very hairs on your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are far more valuable to God than a whole flock of sparrows." What an amazing God. No wonder the psalmist is overwhelmed. God is omniscient. He knows everything about me. There is nothing that I have to hide because God might discover. And we know that God is a God of love, so we know it's safe for him to know everything about us. So God is omniscient. He knows everything. But you know what? God is also omnipresent. Now, here's the holiday Sue and I took in April, May. We were told, some sage told us, when you retire, take a really good holiday because that helps you slow down and get into the slow lane of a geriatric. That was nice. Anyway, so we got in our car with our caravan and we drove 14,000 kilometres on our holiday. We went across to the high country to the Man from Snowy River event and we travelled around. Sue's relatives came from Queensland, we came from WA, and we had a blast for 8 weeks. But you know, when we started off going up Greenmount Hill, we couldn't also at the same time be in Kooriong or Port Augusta. You and I know that we are limited to one place at a time. But we were dreaming of getting to Craig's Hut up in the high country. And there we are, all of us from the Queensland lot and the WA lot, and we're thoroughly enjoying our time up in the high country at Craig's Hut. And there's the two best looking of the whole bunch. And I stood there and I looked out over the high country, over Kosciuszko, and was overwhelmed at the goodness of God. I had that same feeling when we were in Austria and we looked over real mountains, not Mount Pleasant and Mount Gravatt, real mountains. And this overwhelming sense of, oh, How big is our God? He is amazing. The psalmist puts it like this. I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I go to the grave, you are there. If I ride with the wings of the morning, if I dwell on the farthest oceans, even there your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. I could ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me to become night. But even in darkness, I cannot hide from you. To you, the night shines as bright as day. Darkness and light are the same to you. What an amazing God we serve. What an amazing God we worship. God is omnipresent. He's always there. Everywhere we go. When we get put in prison. When we go on a holiday. When we go into work. When we stop and relax. God is with us. Wasn't that the name that was given to Jesus, Emmanuel? God with us. After looking at these things, the psalmist then goes to the omnipotence of God. You know, there are some things that you can't do. Some of you are laughing. I got reminded of this on Father's Day. Here is Pastor Shell's Father's Day card to me. And in it, and on it, she writes, Dad. Sorry, the card says, Dad, not all superheroes wear capes. And in it, she says, to my excellent dad, you may not have been able to rescue my balloon when I was 5, or move my piano when I was, I better not tell you that age, that was this year, but you will always be my superhero. Now, the background of this card is that when Shell was 5, we lived on acreage at Sue's parents' place, and it was a Arab stud subdivided up. There was still a beautiful Arab horse there named Zachariah. It was a stunning horse. And you'd been to a party or a show or something. It had these balloons, and they escaped, and they floated. And so we're following these balloons, hoping to get Shell's balloons and rescue them. And finally, they land in some trees. And I had to say to my 5-year-old, Shell Bell, sorry, I can't get them for you. In that paddock lives a bull. And I'm not crossing that paddock where the bull lives to get your balloons. Superhero. Just this year, Shell goes, Dad, I found this piano on Gumtree or Marketplace or whatever it was. Can we go and get it? So yeah, we organise, we get the trailer on the car, we drive down to where the piano is, and we look up the hill. We go up the stairs, we knock on the door, he takes us out the back and shows us this heavy old piano. And I look around, and there goes the staircase down the outside. Stairs, stairs, stairs. All the way down to where the car's parked. And I'm thinking, we can't take that. It would get away from us. And if it made it across the road without wiping out a car, it would go into the neighbour's house and wipe out the whole house. And so once again, superhero dad, doo doo. You know, there are some things we just cannot do. And for some of us, wisdom tells us there's some things we should not do. The poet, the psalmist, begins to write about God's omnipotence. You made all my delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvellous, and how well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion. As I was woven together in the dark of the womb, you saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before you, before a single day had passed. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They are innumerable. And when I wake up in the morning, you are still with me. What an amazing God we serve. Have you been like John was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day? Shifting your dish from the week, from the day, and shifting it to focusing on God, our God, the God of love, who has the divine attributes of omnipotence, omniscience, and omnipresence. The God who is omniscient, he knows everything. The God who is omnipresent, he is everywhere. There is nowhere we can be taken, there is nowhere we would go that God is not within arm's reach. He is omnipotent, he is all-powerful. He is the God of Abraham, of Isaac, of Jacob. He's the God for whom nothing is impossible. The psalmist finishes off after focusing on this awesome God. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting life.